My name is Ruben Levy. We are. I'm certain that. My name is Ruben Levy. We're learning Gana Shalom. We're reading through the Hebrew version. We're on page 49 in the chapter that deals with not criticizing a wife. Rav Arush here is giving us 9 different reasons not to criticize a wife. We're up to reason number, which needs a number 6. Ha'arot mazikot. Reason number 6 for not criticizing your wife. If you need another reason, tzrichim adat. We need to know. She'lekol adam yesh machala she'redifa atzmit. That every person, well then, including you, I can see. Every person has the illness of chasing after themselves. Stop chasing after ourselves. Stop beating ourselves up. Right? Rav Arush is telling you, straight from the page here. Hashem loves you very much. You have nothing to beat yourself up about. Nothing. Everybody feels like Hagish Shehu Lo Beseder. Everyone feels he's not okay, that he has a problem. Everybody is blaming themselves. The nashim bifrat, particularly women, neguot b'machala hazot. Women are particularly affected by this illness. Even more than that, we think we beat ourselves up. Baruch Hashem that you're not a woman.
But he asked me to change the shelf. So, 2 weeks ago, I was there, measure everything. I have not the time to go to the shop to look how much cost the wood. Then she called all the ways. I said to my wife, say I want 1,000 shekels. I said, I want not this shop. Say I want 1,000 shekels. They say yes. So, okay. Start. You know how much money is spent for one shelf to build? 1,000 shekels. You know how many hours I worked there for nothing when I'm not finished? I've spent money over the whole day. So I did nothing.
1,000 shekels on shelves?
Wow. I spent 1,000 shekels and they paid me 1,000 shekels. I only not the hours. I worked maybe 5 or 8 hours. I have to go there.
So
yesterday I was really mad. Okay. I'm not finished. I have to go again.
So are you beating yourself up? Are you blaming yourself?
I was listening to the
Hashem put it into your head to say 1,000 shekels. Not you, Hashem put it into your head to say 1,000 shekels. You heard it. Hashem said,
no,
say 1,000 shekels. So you said 1,000 shekels.
What was laziness? Because I not go to the shop and ask how much it costs.
Because why?
I have no time to go. I said, ah, okay. But I now understand how Israel, the wood is very expensive.
Nachon, it is. But Hashem made you do it. Hashem tripped you up. He made you fall. He, only him. You don't exist.
I fall yesterday many times. So I lost my bed. Then the card, I was in Cosmo 1990, it was 290.
Okay. Yesterday was a bad day. So I had to. Yesterday was a good day, a very good day. In fact, it was so good that Hashem gave us lots and lots of tests in order to be very kind to us. Mamash be very kind to us, only kindness. We haven't yet seen why it's a kindness. We're going to see exactly what the kindness today doesn't look so good. Mamash, it doesn't look so good.
You're so right, because yesterday we had an emergency leak in the bathroom. The toilet tank was leaking, flooding everything. 675 shekels later.
Right.
But it was like it happened mostly Shabbos. You know, we were wondering what Shabbos, we found out we were expecting, you know, okay, a few hundred shekels.
Right.
Okay. So yesterday.
Yesterday was a big day for Dinim and Kaparot and Shemayim. What can you do? It's that time. That's what happens. And what happens, we chase ourselves. And we should know that the amount we chase ourselves and blame ourselves, and our wives are even worse. Even worse. Tamid hem magishot lo beseder. They always feel not okay. We occasionally have a good day. Occasionally we have a good day. A few hours are good. But they don't get a letter. They don't get a break. They're always feeling not okay. His body dirt making. But generally speaking, Tamid magishot shehem lo sot masfik. They always feel that they're not doing enough. Hem lo tovot masfik, that they're not good enough. That they're not satisfying their husbands. Always worried about that. But Otto Baal Shemir Lishtoa, and the same, and that man that criticizes his wife, Hulamase Machazekla Etadibui Hatmi Hanamuch Vahaladifa Hatmi, he in effect strengthens in his wife the imagination of the low, of the, her own low self-esteem and her chasing after herself. Basically, he clarifies it, he agrees with it, he kihu mochiach la shehid sodeket, he proves to her that she's right, in that that she's chasing herself. That he has claims against her, that he will defeat at that small audiote, and so she chases herself even more. She feels even worse, and she gets weaker even more so as a result. Psychiatry. Until you find that there were some women who need psychiatric help from all the chasing after themselves. Job of a husband is to encourage his wife. Hashem made it that way. Hashem created a woman that she needs a lot of encouragement, a lot of love, a lot of attention, continuously. How did he manage to do that? By putting inside the worry. She's worried about she's not doing good enough, she's worried about what everyone's thinking about her, she's worried about, etc., everything. Hashem put that inside her so that she will have a lot of worry, and therefore she's going to need a lot of attention. If Hashem put inside a woman calmness, everything's good, there's no problems, everything's fine, what's she need me for? She's fine. She gets on with herself. She manages herself perfectly well. She does it well. She doesn't need me to encourage her. She doesn't need me to look after her, to give her attention. No, opposite, she does. Dafka, she does. Right? Hashem made her that way, that she needs the attention. Why? Because we've got a job to do. Hashem created the world for you. Right? He created the world specifically for you, for your neshama, for what you need. And what your neshama needs is to give. To give and to give and to give continuously, all day, every day. How did he do that? He said, I'll give you something that's going to need 24/7 attention. Ba-da! It's called your wife. Now you've got something to do. You'll never be bored again. And you've got 24/7 mitzvahs on hand, sitting around thinking, what can I do? What mitzvahs can I do? And I'm looking around, oh, my wife, she needs some attention, she needs some encouragement, she needs some love.
Is if your wife has a chronic illness, such as asthma, such as diabetes, God forbid, such as a heart problem, God forbid, have a definition of a chronic illness.
Right.
And it is like, it needs constant, what's the word, maintenance?
Yes. Right. So you're correct. So some women have an external obvious need, and everyone else, including that same woman, has the internal need. And it's just hidden. And that's the free choice. The free choice is we can't see it, and we can pretend to ourselves that she's fine, she doesn't need me, everything's good, she's looking after herself. We can fool ourselves, and that's why we have free choice. We don't see it. We could choose to ignore it. And Hashem said, no, this is what I want you to do. Right? And the more, like some, not every woman is the same. Some women need more attention than others. Some need more attention sometimes. Some days they're having a bad day, some weeks, some months, some years. Who knows? Like some periods of time. Other times, right? Each and everything according to what I need. Right? If Hashem says you need to work on giving right now, so he's going to give me opportunities I need to give. If Hashem says no, you need to like focus on your Torah study or on your Hitzvadadut or whatever. So fine, so suddenly your wife is, everything's okay, she's got plenty to do, she doesn't need you right now, you're out, right? So Hashem arranged that. Zion, next one, seven. Lo ha-kapdan melamed. The kapdan, person who is a kapdan is very particular, very picky. He can't teach. What does it mean? Shabal kaptan, when a husband has the nature of being a kaptan, of being a very particular, picky, stringent individual. Lo yachol lo'olam liyot lo shalom bayit. He can never really have shalom bayit. Kamuva, like it's brought. Al yidei hakapta ein shalom. Because of being very particular, you can't have peace. Peace requires a lot of compromise, a lot of giving, a lot of Hebrew levater, to
yielding,
to cancel oneself, to not be particular. Right? You can't have peace if you pick up on every detail. You have to be very forgiving, very unseeing. Particularly, Rav Ari says, those things which a husband wants his wife to change. Husband sees in his wife, there are some areas that I've got. Hashem didn't make women to be tzaddiket. They're not a tzaddik, a woman. So she has issues. Natural. You're going to see them. It's natural. You're living with her 24/7, right? You're going to pick up on the fact that she has bad midot, that she doesn't do everything perfectly. That's normal, right? She's not tzaddiket. And those things which a husband is really particular about, that kind of irk me. Efshar b'shum ofen yishyatzliach l'shanot otah. It's impossible, and on no account are you going to change your wife. Al yidei ha'arot, through criticism. Right? Like Hazal said, lo ha'kapdan l'mamed. Because a kapdan, a person who's particular, cannot teach. Right? If a woman has a mida that she leaves her socks on the floor of the bedroom, and the husband is a person who puts his socks in the laundry basket, and it makes the whole room messy, then we just pick them up. I mean, how long is it going to take? 2 seconds? I mean, there's the laundry basket, there's the floor. Come on, already, right? If I tell my wife to put the socks, please put your socks in the laundry basket. Come on, it's easy, right? I'm doing that because I'm picky, I'm particular. I'm being a kapdan. Even though it's a small thing, I'm not being, it's not a huge, just asking nicely. No way, no way, no way is it ever going to change. She's never going to do it. Never, ever, ever going to do it. They're going to stay on the floor, stay on the floor. And the more I get upset about it, it's going to turn into a big row, the biggest thing. She's never, it's going to stay firm. It's going to be the biggest. Right? What's going to happen? How do you change it? We're going to come to the bit about how you change it. Rabbi Arash is going to ask in a minute. So if you're not allowed to criticize and you're not allowed to tell, how are you ever going to change anything? Right? He's going to ask the question and answer. Right? But it's not the way. Right? If you want to change it, you pray.
How about something readily serious, okay? Like, yeah. My wife has to take medicine every day.
Yeah.
My wife has to take medicine every day.
Yes.
Because they took out her thyroid. Because when she was baby, they gave her X-ray treatments. So it's
okay.
Like, when the man was dead, don't trust doctors.
Stay away from doctors.
It's like, you really need to listen to them. Don't trust doctors.
Okay.
But here and now, she has no thyroid. So she has to take her thyroid pill every day or else she's going to die.
Okay.
And they also have her take other medicines, be like vitamin D.
Okay.
She's pretty good at the thyroid, I remind her.
Yes.
But she's not good at taking the vitamins.
Okay.
Am I allowed to say, you know, have you taken your vitamins?
Yes. If she is, if she, for starters, if it's pikuach nefesh, for sure. If you're saving a life, you don't even worry, right? You can break everything in the Torah to save a life. But she presumably is happy to be reminded, no?
Yeah.
If she's happy to be reminded, it's not because this is.
Wait, wait, wait. You have the
pill
put on the table?
No. I don't think so. Maybe. Maybe not, though.
Because
it's.
That's why I'm asking, because sometimes she's confused whether she can put it or not.
So, to ask someone, like I was explaining yesterday, my wife likes to count Sfirat HaOmer, it's a big mitzvah, and she sometimes forgets. So I check with her at night, did you count today? She says, yeah, I counted, or no, I forgot, thank you. Right, she counts. She's very happy to be reminded. So that's not a criticism. She didn't do anything wrong. Criticism is when someone does something wrong, and then after the fact, you mention that they did wrong. That's criticism. They did something wrong, and then after the fact, you tell them that they did wrong. We're talking about before the fact, and it's not even that they did wrong in this situation. Taking a pill is not something, it's like, it's not something she did wrong.
Right.
She took or didn't or forgot or whatever. Right?
Because I'm really concerned about her health.
Yeah, fair. So you're perfectly okay. The answer is perfectly okay to tell your wife. Ask her if she took a medicine. She's very happy about it. It's a big chesed you're doing. Very good. Okay. Next one, number 8. Criticism is dangerous. Adam shemochiyat ishto, a man who rebukes his wife, karov ma'od nikashel b'kas. He is very close to falling into anger, kas. When a person criticizes, it's easy to fall into anger. Once we let ourselves go down the trail of the Yetzer Hara, we never know where we're going to end up. What starts off as a comment about the socks being on the floor ends up being a full-scale row about who knows what. So it can lead to anger. Also, v'lehavanat panim can lead to causing embarrassment. V'hona'at devarim and to is hurting someone with your words. It's an issur from the Torah to hurt somebody with words. Just like it's an issur to hit them in the face or to hurt them in any other way physically, it's also an issur to hurt somebody with your words. Nimsa, therefore it turns out, she'ulai ishto avara al eza mitzvah d'rabana. Maybe your wife did do a sin. She made an Aveira on some mitzvah d'rabanan. It's very hard to do a mitzvah d'oraita. I mean, it's possible, but most of the mitzvahs, the sins we stumble in are d'oraita, thank God, d'rabanan. Right? So let's say my wife made a mistake in something and I want to pick her up on it. So she did an Aveira, it was a mitzvah, rabbinic mitzvah. Kashuhu me'ila al-kach, but when he criticizes her on this, who are there al-mitzvah deraita? The husband is actually transgressing a mitzvah deraita. She messed up on some small, no mitzvah small, but on a mitzvah derabbanan, a rabbinic mitzvah, and he, in criticizing her, is transgressing Torah law. On some of these averas that the husband might be doing, it says that sinning this way, a person has no olam haba. He drives away the shekhinah. He transgresses the mitzvah of emunah. And even all of Torah. Right? There were some sins that are equivalent to the whole of Torah. So I should know that when I go to rebuke, I can easily end up, without meaning to, committing lots of Torah transgressions. And it turns out that what happened, his wife didn't do some good thing, some good practice. She didn't buy an extra bottle of milk and it ran out. It's not a Torah law. She didn't do any Aveira. But now you tell your wife, you should have bought some more milk. Right? So you're telling her off for, it's not even a, for some something. Right? Or a few lolays and mitzvah. Aval hi gerasha, lo gerasha to shechina. What she did didn't push the Shekhinah away. When she forgot to buy milk, it didn't push away the Shekhinah. But when you criticize her, you push away the Shekhinah. You're the one who just destroyed your Shalom Bayit, pushed away the Shekhinah. Mayotekara, what's worse? Mashihiyafa or Mashahuwaheila? What she did or what you just did? Yofi. Number 10, final reason for not criticizing your wife. Ha'arot chozrot alecha. Your criticisms will come back on you. Yeshno gan klal. There is also a rule, v'yisod, and a principle. B'chol inyan hatochacha. In the idea. In the concept of rebuke. What's that? The rule is, kishot atzmacha tachila. Check yourself first. Sheperushot, what's the meaning of that? The meaning of that is, she'adam ha'otze lochiyach achirim. A person who wants to rebuke other people. Sarich lifneichen, needs, first of all, lirot she'etzlo hakol matukan karaui. He needs, first of all, to check that with him, everything's actually fixed perfectly well. She'im lav, because if not, azai kishyomer lach le'echad, it's like what there's a phrase, an expression that they say in Hebrew. It comes from the Gemara. I think it's now in modern Hebrew, but I don't know if it translates so well into English. I'll tell you what it is in English. All right, so what's the expression? The expression is, when someone says to his friend, "Tol keisam mibein shinecha," take that toothpick from out of your teeth, and the friend replies to the one who just rebuked him, "Tol korah mibein einecha," take that beam of wood from between your eyes. That's the expression, right? So I'm coming along to say, take that toothpick out of your mouth, and a person comes and will take that plank of wood out of your head. Right? The person who rebukes should know that not that expression is said about what the person is going to say back to you. Right? If a person goes to rebuke someone, right, what do they say? Oh, so you're so perfect yourself, are you? Oh, you've never done anything wrong. Right? As soon as you say anything to your wife, you've had it. She's got a long list of 10,000 things that you did wrong. every day of your marriage, from the first day until today, and they're all written down perfectly in her head, and she can tell you time, place, what you were wearing, what day of the week it was. 100% right. So don't even go there. Don't even enter that battle, because you're going to lose. I'm actually, you're going to lose.
Starting with first date.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Even before then. Right? It's a battle you can't win. Right?
Or life is a question. You don't want any questions. Do you remember, what were you wearing when or do you remember 15 years ago, what?
She knows, right.
Because she can't.
Right, we can't answer.
She remembers every detail.
That's
right.
We can't. We don't know what we wore yesterday.
But
she knew what we were wearing on our first date. So, I don't know, jeans maybe, I don't know what I said. Tom. So, never go into battle by trying to rebuke someone, because you're going to come off worse, right? And that's on this plane, that's on this level. But we should know that it's not only on this level, it's also on the spiritual level, right? If we start criticizing other people, then in Shemaim they open up the book and they check, oh, this guy thinks that he's got something to say. Let's have a look and see. You know, let's see what he's... You know, and then we're in trouble. Because for sure we're not perfect. Right? If anyone came over to tell us what we're doing wrong every 5 minutes, we'd never get anywhere. We'd be stuck. We'd be... Right? We wouldn't get anywhere. So we're in no position to point out anybody's wrongdoing in any situation. Who can hold themselves open to scrutiny, to be checked by Shemayim? It's not worth it. We know even further that Rav Nachman brings in the Nukatei Moran that they're not allowed to judge a person until he judges himself. What does it mean? It means that a person judges himself. Just like in Shemayim, the Gemara in Ta'anit, we learned that said that when you get upstairs in Shemayim, they give you your verdict and you say, I agree. You agree with the verdict, right? Even if the heavenly court decrees something really, really nasty on you, you agree with them. You look down, you say, you know, you're right. You don't argue. You say 100% you're right. You agree with the verdict. That idea is actually true continuously. We agree with whatever Hashem is giving us, we're agreeing to it. We're saying, you know, Hashem, 100%. Which is why a person should always think good thoughts about themselves, right? And always think good thoughts about other people. Because we learn in the Gemara, Rav Nachman brings it to the Ketei Moran. We learn from David HaMelech. David HaMelech was punished on the sin, whatever sin he did with Bathsheba, that's not clear. It's certainly not the sin that we think it is from the Peshat. Gemara says anyone who thinks that David sinned with Bathsheba in that way is completely mistaken. But Tob, he had a sin there anyway. What happened? So Natan the prophet came to him and told him a story. Said to David, what would you do? Let me tell you about a story. There was a person. He was a poor man and he had one sheep that he loved very much. And a very wealthy person came and took that one sheep that he loved very much, etc., etc. David said, oh, that's terrible. That man should be put to death. He should have severe punishment. And Natan said to him, ah, you know what, David, that's you.
Isn't this when you come to the heavenly court?
Uh-huh.
Show you a movie?
Uh-huh.
And say, you don't know who you are. They say, you have to judge. You judge them?
Uh-huh.
They say, this is why you have to judge your positive. And you negative always? You see only on the negative side? You see this in your movie, then you judge negatively. When you say, well, you're positive, which is positive,
So you judge, you judge yourself in the eye of the God. They don't judge you, you judge yourself.
But the truth is, we're doing that every day. Every day, not even after 120. Every day, one of the ways we get judged is how we judge other people. Hashem puts in front of us someone doing an Aveira, someone doing something wrong. And he puts it in front of our eyes. And he says, "No, what do you think? What's your opinion on what you just saw over there?" Right? Yeah. And we, momentarily, we forgot that we do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, on Shabbat, we were sitting and we said, me, my wife, window open, and smoke coming in the apartment. There was somebody making a barbecue. Shabbat. So my wife said, you cannot smell, but I said, well, it smells good. But they didn't meet me, and they came in and joined us because they said, so I made a fix. My wife said, oh, they didn't know what to do with on Shabbat. I said, okay, there's a always
you can
make sure
about. Because what happens, Hashem puts in front of us something that we then criticize. And actually it's us. Actually he's showing us something that we did and it's disguised. It doesn't look like, I didn't do exactly what they're doing, but I did something similar that's the same concept, the same idea. And I did the same thing yesterday, or I did the same thing last week, or I did whenever. And in order for them to judge me in the heavenly courts, I need to agree with it. So what happens? Hashem says, I'm going to show you the same thing, and you're going to tell me what you think. And you're going to criticize it. And you're going to say, that person is wrong. He shouldn't have done that. Did you see what that man just did? And actually, I'm talking about myself, because I did the very same thing last week. Just Hashem has closed my eyes to it, so I don't realize that it's actually me. And I criticize. And what happens? I get the punishment. Edim Zomamim. What's Edim Zomamim? The punishment that the Edim wanted to give to him, they get done to them. And I'm an Edim Zomamim, right? The punishment that I wanted to give to this guy, that guy should pay for what he just did. That was me. Oh. And then I put on myself, Chas V'Shalom, the same punishment that I wanted on him, because I'm judging him, and I'm really judging myself. I'm judging my own transgression. And the heavenly court say, 100%, the way you want to go, you just go for it, you just got it.
I have a friend, it was in Shabbat, my own. And after the dinner, he always sees very sharp, like Shammai. People drive car, and he's always and before he left, by accident, he took on the light. And Shabbat. So.
Idiok, Tafa?
So he was very judging people, he was wrong. So when he was in his mind, was there, he turned on the light.
But we should know that the people, and he's judging himself, internally, he's blaming himself. I did wrong, I shouldn't have done that, it was wrong. And that internal blame is the same thing. I'm bringing, Chas V'Shalom, the punishment, not the punishment, the consequence on myself, because I'm blaming myself. I messed up. Right, we learned today, Rav Dror said, it doesn't really matter what you do, it matters the reaction you have. Even if you made a mistake, you made an Aveira, it matters how I react. Am I going to be happy? Everything's from Hashem. Am I going to blame myself? If I blame myself, then I bring on myself trouble. I bring the trouble on myself because I say, oh, I'm no good, I shouldn't have done it, I'm a bad person. And the heavenly court said, okay, there you go. Or somebody messes up, doesn't matter what it was. Rav Nachman says it's the biggest sin in the world. You get on with it. Then there's no judgment. Why? Because I judge myself and everything's good.
I have 2 weeks ago. I walk always, every day when I go to Nikola. In the week, I drive to Shabbat, I walk always to the garage.
Uh-huh.
To the Nikola. So my mind, when I go back from the mikveh, my wife was not on Shabbat. I was sitting on my walk. I walk. Then I wake up and I was in the elevator. On Shabbat.
Yeah.
I opened the door and I was in the elevator. I said, oh, Shabbat. I'm in the elevator. How can I? So then I realized. Because Hashem put me, because my wife was not on Shabbat. She was sitting in the
for whatever reason.
So, now I can complain.
You're going to complain.
So I said, okay, make sure.
But then, right, but teshuva, right, it's not really the topic, but teshuva is only from simcha, right?
Yes.
So teshuva is not from, I did really bad, I did wrong. That's not teshuva. That's Yetzirah chasing myself, and it's very hard for us to get out of that, because the Yetzirah dresses up and says, this is the way you need to do teshuva. Trust me, says the Yetzirah. I know what I'm talking about. You only do teshuva if you really feel bad and you hate yourself and you're really sorry and you hate yourself. That's not teshuva, right? We have to listen to our rabbis, not to our Yetzirah. And even if our rabbis tell us something that doesn't make sense, doesn't make sense to me that Hashem just wants me to be happy after I sinned. That makes sense? No. Mamash, it's illogical. How can you be happy after you sinned? I just sinned. You want me to be happy? Yes. It's completely crazy. Rav Nachman says you have to throw away your logic because it doesn't make sense.
I told you yesterday what I said. Sure. So what I did today, I was a little bit, not going today in yeshiva, whatever. I said, no. I gave a lot of tzedakah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I feel good. The opposite. Yeah. Before was a little bit. So I walk for nothing. I spend the money. I have not. But then the opposite. Okay. Give some back up. The opposite. I feel good. I was complaining myself. Yeah. I said, you stop it. Why are you so lazy? Why are you not going for me? How much cost the food in Israel? This. Yeah. So I make a price and then I...
Yetzirah of it. You did perfectly well. You did exactly what Hashem wanted. Hashem said to you,
yeah,
last week Hashem said, Reuven needs to have this experience.
Yeah,
why?
Yeah.
I don't know. And how am I going to make him have this experience? I'm going to make him say something silly on the phone. I'm going to make him say 1,000 shekels without checking. I'm going to make him say it. He made you. It's not you. There's nothing
it's
to blame.
It's the same. I wake up at 4 o'clock today. It was too late. If I start Shlirot 15:4, I learn the Zalacha, let's read. They say, what is more important? Tikkun Ratzon, Tikkun Ratzon, and Shlirot. And they say, Tikkun Ratzon. And I say, okay, maybe it's not Tikkun Ratzon, but then I go to the Shlirot.
Yeah.
So, usually I get nervous. But, I say, oh, no, forget it, what is going on?
Video.
But they enter twice, different situation, they put you in a situation where they are sharing, you will see how you act now. You feel in depression or you feel the right things. The good thing is to give tzedakah. To get you to the.
Kol hakavod. Tov, we shall continue tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem.